Welcome to an episode of Hang Out With Me, now brought to you by the Keith and the Girl Network. Check out keithandthegirl.com/hang for more information.
Initiate podcast theme. Thoughts and feelings, words and friendship, truth, fun, heart, wee! Hang out with Mike on Hang Out With Me.
Hang out with Mike on Hang Out With Me.
Greetings.
Hey everyone, welcome back, or for the first time. Hey, before I start, remind me your last name?
Barwick.
Barwick? Is that, do you go by Emily Barwick?
I typically go Emily Moran Barwick.
Emily Moran Barwick.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's
perfect.
Complicated.
We'll do it. So don't include any of that. Hey everyone, welcome back, or for the first time, do Hang Out With Me, a podcast by me, Mike Kaplan. Thanks for listening. Thanks for paying money. If you're a VIP member, if you're not one, you can. Unless you don't have any money, then I steal some. And let's get rid of capitalism. And who knows? But for now, capitalism. Thanks for being a VIP member. If you are one, where you can get bonus episodes of this show and many other shows on the Keith and the Girl Network, keithandthegirl.com/VIP. If you hear grumbling in the background, that's a dog. And those laughs are from my guests who we don't have time. I ran out of time. So goodbye. Thanks for listening. Go to keithandthegirl.com/VIP and put in the code MYQ. If it's your first time, you'll get $5 off, and it's probably not expensive. I don't know how anything works. My guests today, who you've heard laughing, one is the owner of that dog. I mean, you know, as much as dogs can be owned. We're all just individuals on this planet. So that dog, Ubi, hangs out with Emily Moran Barwick. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And my second guest today, welcome back to the show, Casey Holt.
Hello.
Casey is my girlfriend, full disclosure. That's why she's here, because we're traveling together. This is the tail end of a tour upon which Casey moved from Los Angeles to New York City. But even if we weren't dating, I would be happy to have her on my podcast. So if we're ever broken up, you can still be on the podcast.
Thanks.
Emily, we came to your, we were taping on location in Northampton. Thank you for your hospitality here. I came to do a video because you have a YouTube series. What's the series called?
The channel's called Bite Size Vegan.
Bite Size Vegan. Where'd you get that name?
Well, I was just wanted to kind of create a way to simplify the complex things about veganism. If you Google vegan, it's kind of overwhelming.
Pages and pages of stuff. What I gotta know about?
Typical vegan.
Oh, so much. Can I just eat you?
So that's why I just wanted to like make it something very simple and kind of condensed, which is where I came up with bite-sized vegan. And then there's kind of the double entendre that I'm also a
you're a small person.
I'm a small person, and I'm a vegan, so.
That makes sense. And I think, how long have you, when did you start doing those videos?
When I first made them, I think it was sometime in 2012, but I was very slow with creating them for a while, and then I went kind of more full-time with it. My dog's drinking water. I went more full-time with it about a year ago, and that's when I started doing consistent content.
Excellent. I haven't seen everything, but somebody, I think before we met, this is our history, a vegan friend or fan who became a friend, somebody showed me, was like, we were just like sharing videos, and somebody was like, you should check this out. It's interesting because, I mean, a lot of your stuff, like, I think we both not struggle, but have the same like question of like, who is the content for, you know, because sometimes like vegans might watch and be like, yeah, great, the things that I know already and think and want to share. But I think you do a great job of like, you know, creating content that is easy to like consume, and then a lot of it's based on like, hey, if people ask you these questions, you know, here's good ways to answer them. So like for vegans, you know, like by vegans, for vegans, but for non-vegans, like I wrote a thing for Thrillist once that was like, you know, questions that vegetarians get all the time and like my answers to them. And so it's like, you do a useful service. So somebody was like, hey, check out this bite-sized vegan. And I think it was the one where you, ran around in a superhero costume.
Yeah, that was one of the earlier videos. And I did that in Illinois. I had just moved there, and so I just kind of like got some of my fellow people, because I was actually in med school at the time, and I got some of my neighbors to just run around and do this with me, which was really, it was an interesting time.
Quick question before you continue. Number one, dog, what are you doing? You're very loud.
I can kick her out if I want to.
No problem. I was just curious. She's in a cabinet.
Oh, close that. Ubi.
Perfect.
Stop being so noisy.
Got it. She has done it. And the second question is, are you a doctor?
No, I'm not. Did you ask the first question? Okay.
The first question was about the dog.
Okay, no.
First question was, Ubi, what are you doing? Why is it so loud? Second question, Emily.
Okay.
Are you a doctor, and why or why not?
Okay, no, I'm not. I almost was a number of times. I almost went to med school a number of times, and it's been something I've always been kind of, you know, fascinated with to an extent. I wanted to do forensic pathology, but...
Like
also,
CSI stuff?
Well, that's what everyone says, and I've never seen that show. But my father was a pathologist, so I grew up around dead bodies, and so I've always just kind of found it really interesting.
Wow.
Like, I smell formaldehyde, and I get nostalgic. That's like the kind of childhood I had. But, I also have always been interested in art, and for a while I didn't let myself kind of go down that road, because I was raised in, like, a prep school, where it's like, you go to med school or law school, or you are a failure. But then I decided to, like, really give it a go. And so I actually ended up going to grad school for art, and I got two masters in art.
What are the different masters?
Well, it's an MA, like a master's, and then an MFA, which is kind of like, it's the terminal degree in art, because you can't get a PhD in art. You can in Korea, I think. But not here.
Are you going to go there?
No, I'm okay with it.
An art doctor. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, right? You can be a doctor of art there. But not here. So it's the terminal degree.
There's another dog.
It's another dog.
That's fun.
Basically, like I knew that if I tried to do medicine first, that I might never have the time to do my art, and so I decided I'm going to do art first, and then I'll go to medicine. So that's what I did. I finished my grad school. I went to try to start medicine. But during that, you know, I was doing Bite-Sized Vegan, and it's really kind of, my dream has always been to kind of do activism and art full time, but I have absolutely no business sense. So I thought it wasn't possible, and I thought, well, I'll be a doctor, and that's how I'll pay for what I want to do. Which is kind of a, you know, go through 10, 20 years of school so I can pay my bills. Cause like, I don't know, to me being a doctor seemed the easier route, cause it's more clear cut.
You've heard that they make a lot of money.
Yeah. You know, and I just figured, you know, whatever.
Also, quick interlude before, when I ask you the two questions, one about a dog and one about you going to med school, Casey politely but silently mouthed the word to me, doctor. A combination of the words dog and doctor.
Oh, yes.
Just wanted to let everyone know that Casey is participating silently, but active listening.
Charades.
Well, just
there.
In case it wasn't any good, I was...
No, no. It was good. I liked it. That's what certain vets should be called.
I thought you said dog turd, and I was like, did she do something?
Oh, no.
I got worried.
Can I? Yeah. I would like to compliment the Bite-Sized Vegan title. I like it a lot.
Thank you.
It sounds nice. Yeah. I mean, like, we all like, it just has like a good, like, you know, like, yeah. crinkling open a candy bar, and you're like, oh, okay.
And actually, it reminded me of a thing that I haven't thought about probably ever since it happened, but in, like, middle school, did either of you have AOL chat? AIM?
Oh, yeah.
I had it in college. I'm 12 years older than you.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I had one, and one of my screen names was Fun Size.
Oh, sure.
And I thought it was fun, because it was, like, you know, fun, and I was referring to the candy.
Yeah.
You know, because
yeah.
they were so little. And I changed it after one of the kids that I would chat with said, are you referring to your boobs or your butt? And I was like, oh.
No.
Neither. But I take it.
You're no fun. There's always, I feel like there's probably some comedians who have jokes about it, because fun is not, you know, a quantity measurement.
Yeah.
I like fun to be, like, large. Like, you know, especially, I think people have jokes about the candy bars. Like, isn't a larger candy bar more fun? It's so much fun. You hardly even have it. So sorry to interrupt, Emily.
No,
please
no.
continue along your path where you discovered you don't have to do medicine to create videos.
Yeah, you don't, apparently. Although I have to say, if forensic pathology is something I would be interested in doing, it's like, you know, cutting up dead people to figure out what happened to them. To me, that's fascinating. But
so your dad did that?
He was just a pathologist, so he just Well, he did the same thing, but in a non-criminal manner.
Who did he do it for?
Just the hospital in Florida. And so he would do, but he also did a lot of pathologists who, like non-forensic pathologists, also do a lot of, what they primarily do is diagnosis. So if you get a biopsy, that gets sent down to the pathology, and they're the ones who read the slide and say, oh, you've got cancer, or you don't have cancer.
So it's not always dead people.
No, like for them, I think for him, autopsies were probably much smaller amount of his work. But for me, being the wonderful people person I am, I would prefer to work on dead people all day. But it's a lot of schooling, and also I figured, you know, my number one goal is to be effective for the animals in the world, and so I feel like if I'm, you know, like I just decided to throw myself into it, you know, with all of the fear and everything, because I was like, I would rather be making a difference now than like wait until I'm 15 years down the line and have my financial stuff figured out and then decide to try to make a difference.
Oh yeah, I mean, you never know what's gonna happen. You know, you could get hit by a bus tomorrow, and I'm gotta go pick up my bus rental. But that was a joke about me running over the bus for no reason. It could happen today. Who knows? I'm driving a car. It's a Corolla. It doesn't matter. You might get hit by a Corolla. Why do I keep doing it? But yeah, I mean, of course, like anything, you know, like it's why not try to make the difference that you want to make, like live the life that you want to live as soon as possible. Like so many people think about, you know, I got to plan for the future. I got to put away for retirement. I have to do this, like living for tomorrow. But then if you keep living, you know, there's always going to be tomorrows, like to plan for, like when you got to live, when are you going to have the todays?
Yeah, which is, it's interesting because I'm a total planner to a fault. I'll prepare so much that I never actually do something. And the great thing about what I'm doing now, which is kind of a double-edged sword, but I produce so much content and it's very intensive to create that I'm on such a tight schedule that I constantly have to put out videos that I'm not 100% satisfied with. And I like want to tweak them and fix them and do all these things, but it's like, oh, I have a deadline, you know, self-imposed to an extent. But it's kind of helped me to learn to just take action regardless of it being perfect or not. And so it's kind of a constant, they call it with OCD, they call it exposure response prevention, where they make you do something that makes you uncomfortable and then you just have to learn to deal with it. So it's kind of like self-induced that.
Is that something, have you been diagnosed with OCD?
Oh yeah, I have a bunch of diagnoses, but that's one of them. But not in like the fun, helpful way of like cleaning things. Like I'm not that kind. I don't do anything that's actually helpful. You know,
it's more lock the door three times.
Yeah, counting. No, I don't even do that. I don't do any of the stereotypical stuff. And that's I think why it wasn't really caught.
So you could break into your dirty house anytime.
Basically, it's like it's more like mental type of getting stuck and perseverating on things. And so I can look like I'm doing nothing, but there's like a lot of stuff going on up there. But yeah, so I mean, but it's kind of like a good therapy for that in a sense, you know, just by working through it.
That makes sense. We just had, before we came here, breakfast, lunch, brunch, so we ate food at the Green Bean in downtown, I think, the Northampton, pretty much where this stuff is.
Yeah.
And I didn't have any green beans, but I did have greens and I had beans, so it adds up. And we were there with a friend of mine who I went to high school with who lives here. And she just had a second child and said, like, she is a person who, you know, often, like, you know, she's like, I'm an anxious person, but, you know, I'm always thinking about, like, you know, trying to make sure everything gets done. But right now, she's like, there's so much that just has to be done right now. She's like, I can only, like, she is, like you, like, forced to live in the moment, you know, like, what do I have, this has to happen, like, you know, this baby has to be fed, this baby has to be emptied, this baby has to, you know, like, it's all filling and emptying a baby, and, like, you know, managing with another child also, and a husband, and then potentially job and things, and, you know, family, and, like, everything just, you know, sort of emanates from the present. Like, you're like, of course, the future things probably have to, but now, like, you know, just gotta do the now things, which are important. And so, yeah, I'm glad that you're not a doctor.
No, thank you.
But, you know, having those kinds of deadlines, because it's interesting, because, I mean, you put out a video every week. Two to three videos every week. Yeah. Wow. So at least you put a, I mean, even if, and that's the thing, like, you don't have to, quote unquote, you know, you're the person, like, you don't have a boss, you don't have somebody like, we gotta get those videos out, come on, I need more videos, Johnson, you know, that's not my name, or, you know, Like you could, like some people put out one video a week, some people put out a video every 2 weeks. You know, there's like it's a malleable, flexible medium, but you're like, this is what I'm going to do. So it is what you end up doing.
Yeah. I mean, I think to me, there's so much I want to cover, and I have this giant list of topics, and there's always more, and then I have people requesting stuff all the time. And so if it was actually possible for me to put out a video every day, I would, and I'd still have enough to talk about because there's just so much, but it's just limited by like my need to sleep and do things. Which lately I'm finally getting back to sleeping again. For about 4 months, I was sleeping like 1 to 3 hours a night, and it's just not sustainable.
Yeah. You should do a video about how sleep is important for your health.
Yeah. Right.
when you're sleeping, you're not eating meat. So, good work. More sleeping equals more veganness. you could do, I'm sure people, you have all a list of ideas for videos, but, here's another idea for an additional video. You could read the list that you have and be like, here's all the ideas that I have for videos. So coming soon, some of these, and then potentially people could vote like, what do you want to see next? And what ideas are not here? And you've been doing 2 to 3 videos a week for at least a year slash several years, more than that. That's a lot of stuff. How long are the videos each?
Well, when I first started with it being bite size, I set an arbitrary limit of 5 minutes or less because I thought that's bite size. And it lasted that way for a very long, up until a handful of months ago, because it got to the point where I was like cutting out information for the arbitrary deadline of 5 minutes. And it almost seemed like it was kind of constricting some important information. So now I took off the 5 minute hard and fast. So now they tend to be more towards like the 7 to 12 nowadays, which I get nervous about them being that long. And then I have a series called about the history of veganism that I just put out the second edition to finally. And each one of those, like the first one I think is like 25 minutes and the second is like almost 30. Even though I'm cutting them up, like the first one is ancient history and then Middle Ages is the one I just did. So those are kind of like specialty where they're just going to be long, you know, as much as I try to cut them up, it's just going to... they're going to be expansive, but it's kind of like a PBS special, like, you know, to an extent.
It's funny the way that, like, I can't speak for everybody, but the way that I like consume media sometimes, like I'll be likely to be like, oh, a 5 minute video, like a friend of mine is on Conan. Like I'm going to watch that video like pretty immediately. Mm-hmm. But if somebody's like, hey, you should check out this documentary, I'd be like, oh, that's going to take a while to get into the, you know, whether the literal Netflix queue or just the mental queue. Mm-hmm. But even like a friend of mine was like, hey, you should check out this guy, Darren Brown. He's one of the world's greatest mentalists. And I was like, I have seen like a few small videos of him. He's like, you should watch this one person show that he did. And then it was on YouTube, but it was just in like 10 minute chunks. And I'm like, oh, great. I can sit down and watch like 7 short videos. That would be the same. But if it was like 1 hour, I'd be like, I don't know if I have an hour. I do have 7 chunks of 10 minutes, but I definitely, or like the way that I'll watch, should I watch a movie? Like, let's watch a movie. Now let's just watch an episode of a TV show and then 7 more episodes of that TV show that end up being, I'm like, I watched 7 things. That's much more valuable than one thing that's not as long as that. But, so I feel like the same way, I mean, some people want, you know, like, what? It's too long. I'll write things on Facebook sometimes, like I'll put a post that's, you know, a joke that's one line and be, you know, a lot of people will read one line, but sometimes I'll put like a longer thing that is, you know, full of more meaning and more substance. And then like some people appreciate it, but then some people are like, bleh, too long, you know, didn't read. And I'm like, those aren't the people that I'm necessarily, you know, you want to reach everybody that could enjoy the thing that you're doing. But it's of course important to be aware that, you know, as things get more and more in this day and age, more bite-sized, like eventually you could have, like, you know how sometimes people say, like LOL, and that means laugh out loud, but now it's gotten to a point where it doesn't mean that. It just means like, I'm responding to you said a funny thing. And to the point where people now will sometimes say, I literally LOL'd. I'm like, oh, wasn't that... like, thought that was the point of what it was supposed to be. So like, you could have your, you know, you have your bite-sized thing that gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Like, you know, eventually it's like meal-sized vegan. So eventually you're like, y'all like really bite-sized. Like when you do like summaries, they get so long that you're like, I'll do like a 3 to 5 minute version of this video.
Yeah.
And like, that's where we started.
Well, and that's actually like something I've been that I've actually thrown around and I have like on my on the books to do is to do like summaries of things because of this exact fact. Because that's just what it's what it's kind of come to. And I don't know, I think there's value in both. And like I said, I don't want to restrict the content for the sake of this arbitrary limit, but I also want to make it digestible because that's kind of the whole point. And I just recently did my first video for kids and I'm getting ready to do like another one for kids.
A kiddio.
A kiddio, yes. Yeah. So the first one I think was a little long for kids, but I still got good feedback from viewers who had children and they let me know like what they thought and everything. But it's a balance because kind of like what you were saying with your Facebook posts, there's videos every once in a while that I just like, you know, have to like kind of throw up and they'll get huge amount of views and everyone, oh, and all this stuff. And then there's ones where I work for like, you know, 70 something hours on this video and it's like, wah, wah, like no one will watch it because it's like educational or it's not, you know, but if I, you know, was on there with cleavage, then there'd be like views. And so it's kind of finding that like the balance between like, I, you know, my goal is to get the message out and help educate people. At the same time to get that message out, it needs to be more attractive, but it's, I'm always trying to find that balance between like where's my line.
May I suggest changing? We love the name Bite Size Vegan, but what about Cleavage and Cats? How about I think we're gonna name this episode Cleavage and Cats.
Yes.
And that way people will tune in, and we gotcha. Tricked you. Sorry, everybody. But I mean, it's an interesting thing because legitimately. When you have a goal of, you know, for me, for my comedy, you know, like, obviously, I want people to enjoy it. I want people to, you know, laugh. If people wouldn't enjoy it, like, there's definitely, like, you know, some people like jazz and some people don't like jazz. Some people might like some jazz and not other jazz. Like, so, if somebody, and, you know, in comedy, there are different sort of genres as well, not necessarily as clearly defined. You know, some comedians are silly, some people are political, some, whatever it is, like, whatever flavor of comedy I am, like, there's some people that it's not their taste as much. So I don't want to waste those people's time. Like, I want anyone who could like it to like it, and I want anyone who, like, be like, bleh, you know, be like, well, then don't even bother. Watch enough to learn it, and then get out of here. And so, for me, the question of, you know, I put out what I want, you know, as far as like content on Twitter, on Facebook, in albums, on YouTube, and podcasts, whatever. Like, for my podcast, I generally set an arbitrary guideline of like 45 minutes. That's how long the podcast is going to be. But if we end up having like a much longer conversation, I'm like, well, I'm in charge, so that doesn't matter. And like, if people, you know, one time I did one where everybody was on mushrooms and we did a 2-hour bonus episode instead of the normal 10-minute bonus episode. And like, you know, when you set your own thing, like, you want to reach the most people in the best way, but you also, so for you, I think you have an additional thing where you're not just doing it, for yourself. Like, I'm not just doing it for myself, but the goal, you have an additional goal of actually, you know, like, affecting a positive change in the world in a very specific way. So I think you have to, more than I do, like, care about and analyze, be like, yes, if I put more information in the video, then it is more complete, but also fewer people might see it. Is it better for fewer people to see a more complete video, or is it better for, you know, double the number of people to watch a full shorter video where they don't get all the information and they can be like, and also, hey, if you like this, maybe, like, you know, I think he said, like, the video that we recorded, which might be out by the time that you're listening to this, you said might be two videos, like, we talked for a while, like, whatever it is, you'll edit it. But yeah, I mean, what about the idea for these, like, longer ones of just being like, well, I guess this is a, like, 6 5-minute videos instead of a half-hour video, you know? Because you want people to watch the whole thing.
Right.
Like, to be, have, like, a twist ending or cliffhanger at the end, be like, what's going to happen in the rest of the Middle Ages? You know, whatever the case may be. That's Casey's podcast. Whatever the case may be.
Ooh. Thanks.
You got it. That's our secondary name, but I think we're going to go with Cleavage and Cats. Sorry, Case.
Just change the whole channel name. It's like YouTube gold right there.
Mm-hmm. It's fun. I mean, another point. Do you have, I don't know how many specific people, you know, subscribe or follow, but do you have, like, sort of diehard people who definitely, like, watch everything and, like, respond and interact with you?
Yeah, I definitely do. And I have a really great core of viewers and supporters who are kind of, They're very passionate and they're really intelligent. And I love that because the YouTube comment section I've said before is the bathroom wall of the internet, because it's just, I mean, if you've ever read YouTube comments, it's just what it is. I typically have a really respectful comment section compared to the majority of YouTube. And I think a lot of that is just the atmosphere that is set there. And I don't know if it's because I primarily am an educational channel, but then I do get the rude comments now and again, of course, as we all do.
Any fun ones that you want to share? It's not required.
A lot of them are, of course, like the typical, like, well, lions, though.
Lions aren't vegan, yeah, so lions torture everything.
And even on videos, and one of my favorite is people will bring up objections after a video, and I don't know if they've just read the video title or what, but they bring up these objections that I literally address in the video. And then I'll be like, did you watch the video? Well, no, but you know. And then I get personal attacks. My favorite one is just, I hate your face. That's all they wrote. Oh. And I just love that, because I was like, okay, that's just,
well,
very passionate.
I can't really control my face, but you can control your attitude and your fingers. I mean, of course, I think I've talked about this before, but you can look at a video that has like a million views and say like, 100,000 likes, of all the people that watch the video, not everybody clicks, that they like it or dislike it. Not everybody, and even fewer people comment, mm-hmm. but like, so if a million people watch, let's say 10 million people watch a video, a million people like it, like 1,000 people don't like it, but then you look at the comments and it's going to be like half of the comments are negative or more, because depending what it is, there's sort of a hypothetical, because the kind of person who like takes the time out to comment, like if you enjoy it, you're like, yeah, all right, I'm going to move on with the rest of my life. That was good. I mean, it's great that there are people that sometimes do comment positively, and I have like Facebook is like a more positive environment where, like, because the people that are seeing your stuff there are usually your friends, your fans, your followers, like people who are more likely to like, likely. and on there, they also know that they're interacting with you directly, where so on a YouTube comment, like people don't have any idea how, like, how directly involved, like, you are necessarily with it. Like, your video goes up and they're like, boo. Yeah. Maybe the people who are like, I hate your face, they're like, I hope she sees that I hate her face. I don't like it. I hope she knows, But every once in a while, there's people, I'm sure, that, like, when they put something online and then you respond to it, they're like, oh, I didn't even know you were going to see this. Like, I thought I was just being horrible into a vacuum, I thought I was just like yelling into the void, because that's what we do as a society. And it's not what we do as a society. Like, in real life, so many more people are, friendly, kind, thoughtful, respectful, like to a person's face. Like you can meet, you can meet somebody who holds all the opposite views that you do. And for the most part, you'll be like, all right, hey, nice to meet you. You're not gonna like hang out with them, but they're, very few people, how many times in real life have people told you to your face they didn't like your face?
Yeah, I don't know if that's happened.
Much fewer.
Yeah.
Almost damn zero.
I think it's definitely the anonymity, that engenders it, but it's strange. And then, of course, I have people, some of the most, the majority of personal attacks I get, which, again, it's not that much, it's always about my tattoos. People saying, like, well, your tattoos have dead animals in them, or that your tattoos have, or whatever. And I've literally done 3 videos on tattoos, like one with like a tattoo tour. I did one specifically on like how to get a vegan tattoo, like what is not vegan with tattoos, what is, how to make sure yours is.
Can you really quick go through what's not vegan about tattoos?
Traditionally, and...
Oh yeah, and do you call it a tattooer, the tattoo tour? that was another Casey one there.
You're on fire.
Adding it to me. She's tattooing us. you're about to tattooer us. Okay.
Awesome. So yeah, traditionally, like the black ink of tattoos had bone char in it.
Huh.
And I don't know, some brands might still, but typically they don't. More so today, what you need to worry about is there can be shellac or glycerin within different inks, and also in like the soap that they soap you down with, and then in the transfer paper there can be lanolin. But there are brands that don't have lanolin in there. So those are the things, but a large number of really popular inks are vegan. They don't mean to be vegan necessarily.
Oh yeah.
But they are, because typically, like when you don't have animals that you're putting into your skin, it's usually better for you. So they just
Man,
I just don't do it.
So some people with tattoos are like part like werewolf or whatever, you know, like some kind of like chimera, you know, an amalgam of. I feel like that's the thing that, you know, when people are like, what, you know, today everybody, you know, some people are getting piercings and tattoos and like altering their body in certain ways. And the question is like, what's going to be like, what's our generation going to be like horrified by that? Like, are people going to be like splicing animal genes into their body, like to make themselves actually part lizard? And so people are actually already doing this. We didn't even know. Like if you have a tattoo of a lizard on your arm, maybe you have lizard in your arm.
Well, you might have, you know, you might have bone, you might have beetle secretion, which is what shellac is. You might have the glycerin, which is just, you know, boiled down parts of.
Is it cow?
It tends, well, it.
Is it hoof?
It can be like tendons, and it's kind of like the leftovers that are kind of like reduced. And it's kind
of gross. Every part of the buffalo?
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of.
Every,
A lot of times euthanized pets and things like that. I mean, that's what goes into dog food, cat and dog food too. All the rejects. Well, and with cat and dog, I even have one of my very earliest videos talks about can pets be vegan and what's in pet food. And
what do you feed your pet?
I feed her V-Dog. It's a vegan brand. And she's been so much healthier once she got on it years ago because she has a lot of allergy issues. But I mean, with pet food, they take like their expired meats from grocery stores and things like that, but they don't even have to take them out of the packages. So the styrofoam, the plastic, all of that goes in there. The ground up other euthanized pets, which a lot of mainstream brands these days like we don't do the euthanized pets anymore, but they're still doing, you know, the diseased and the rejected animals from slaughterhouses, and you're gonna have a lot of fecal content going in there as well. So and there's like plastics, soap. I mean, all kinds of just unedible
things. I'm a fecal malcontent. that is crazy. So I don't know if I interrupted you when to ask you that tattoo question, but in general, also, I'm glad, sorry to derail the topic from your loving, supportive community. Like, I just focused in at, like many do, I'm like, but what about this minor vocal, you know, like loud negative noise of the internet? But it's great to have, you know, this. Do you think most of your like viewers are vegans?
I think probably the majority of them are at this point. And
sympathizers.
Yeah, when I first started the channel, my goal was to speak to non-vegans almost exclusively because, you know, I feel like we vegans, we talk to other vegans about being vegan and like what is that accomplishing? Like we go to you know, have potlucks and that's, it's not going to do anything.
Hell yes, so, we will go. We're there. Bye.
So,
we're here. We're also used to it already. Everybody, we got it. Everybody's good. Good food.
We all agree. Well done.
Yeah.
Well, and like, you know, vegans will sit around and talk about how messed up everything is, but it's like, you know, we know this. We already know this. We're vegan. We're on it. But what I found was that like a lot of the people watching my videos were vegan. And I kind of, the second aspect of it kind of came out of that, which was not only helping or teaching non-vegans about veganism, but kind of teaching vegans how to talk about veganism more effectively.
Right.
Because I have a lot of vegans that write me and say, like, I was afraid to ever talk about being vegan. I've never known how to respond to people, and now I watch your videos and I know exactly what to say. And I also have a lot of people contact me and say they've gone vegan. I've had, you know, whole families contact me and say they've gone vegan. So that really is kind of, and for me, like, I'm someone who's never satisfied with myself, and so I'm constantly going to do more and more and more. But it's still great to see that and to be like, okay, I'm doing something right. So I'm going to keep doing that.
What if everyone was vegan? Would you be satisfied?
I would be very satisfied. I'd be happy to be out of a job per se. that would, you know, maybe I'd go into medicine. Who knows? And I wouldn't have as many dead people because most people die of like heart attacks and things that are induced by eating a lot of animal products.
But you would want there to be a lot of dead people.
Yeah,
because that's...
then I wouldn't have a job. So I guess it would be like a double-edged sword.
Oh, man.
What?
You'd have to go around killing people with a double-edged sword.
Yeah, right? And then I'd be good.
That's kind of like what you were saying earlier in the video about the social justice.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah. Yes, the idea that I would also gladly sacrifice all of my, you know, jokes... aiming to make the world better for a world that was better.
Yeah, I'd be game for that. I could find something else to do, you know.
I think Patton Oswalt had a joke on an album a few years ago about how people ask comedians all the time, like, I think it was when Obama was elected, you know, oh, no more Bush, huh? You bet you're going to miss having Bush in office. And he's like, no, I'm fine to not have, you know, like, illegal wars and, you know, just tons of horrors, like, and then he, I guess, check out Patton Oswalt, everybody. way better to sacrifice 10 minutes of material than to have the world be a worse place.
Yeah. Well, and as long as you have politicians, you'll have something humorous.
Oh, yes. About. Not saying, yeah, certainly there are still wars and drones and genocides aplenty. Yeah. Obama won the Nobel Peace Prize, but there is also still places where there's not peace. and we, quote unquote, do some of it.
Yeah. True.
So yeah, let's keep working at it. So good for comedy.
Yeah.
And the machine of education. Yeah, I mean, also there always will be more, you know, even if it's good that society is progressing as much as it is in so many ways, but some people are still, you know, like lagging and even if that, you know, it's all heading in the right direction, hopefully. And Casey is an example, we said in the video, of
telephone.
It's okay. We're in a natural place. You know, sometimes in the world. Yeah.
Nature calling.
You know how in the natural world of a podcast, somebody's just nature calling, they have to pee. They're just, yeah. hello, may I go to the bathroom? That is an interesting... expression, nature calls. That's like, yeah, it's a nice way of humans usually, I feel like, it's a very common perspective to think of ourselves as like separate from nature.
Yeah.
But that's like one noteworthy place where we're like, oh, we are nature. The nature of me, you know, water goes into me, water must come out of me. Unless they're just thinking that that water is the nature part, but we are nature.
There's a great book. Tom Robbins is one of like my favorite authors.
Oh, he's super.
Read all the time. And the Another Roadside Attraction. I can't remember the exact phrasing of it, but it's so well done. But it was one of the main characters says that she has this theory that humans were created by water as a transportation system.
Ha!
And that always just made me smile. Just to get from one place to another.
That makes it. That's like those the parallel to the people who think that. Not the people who think that. I think there's like research that suggests that there's this parasite in cats, you know, that like the cats get the parasite and then the parasites, you know, make it so that like, I don't know, cats are friendlier or like to each other. I don't remember any. Does anybody have the answer to what the, please insert parasites and cats in the respect of what we're talking about. Anyway, cleavage. So, I guess we are coming up on the arbitrary time that I normally stop talking. It's my sad honor to report. But first, before we stop talking, where can people find the things that we've been talking about? Where do you want people to go to find you?
Okay. You can go to bitesizedvegan.com. There's no D. That happens a lot.
Not bite-sized
not
vegan.
Not bite-sized.
Does anybody have that? Or
I think I bought that, so I think it's good. But... it's bitesizedvegan.com, or you can go to like youtube.com/bitesizedvegan. I'm also on Twitter and Facebook. I suck at Twitter, but I'm on it. And Facebook and Instagram and things like that. But
all with bitesizedvegan.
All with bitesizedvegan.
Yeah. That's good. It's a good bite size handle. It's other than that D, it's like search optimized, sort of perfect. Like whether or not that D is there.
Yeah, I think it still holds up.
You can handle it.
Yeah.
And Casey, where can people find the things that you want them to know about?
I've been posting lots of Instagram photos for our tour.
That's true.
Vlog
true tour. So Casey is with a C or? I always forget.
No, Casey with a K.
Oh, okay. Casey. Oh, right. You spell Casey with a K. Casey's middle name starts with C. Sometimes, like on Twitter, you're Casey C. Holt.
Yeah. On Instagram, it's just that, Casey Carolyn.
Casey Carolyn, and you've got your SoundCloud with music and such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I guess I did want to ask, I usually like to get everybody's final thoughts. This can be the final question that you answer, but you can also say more. There's, if you want to say something that's not the answer to this question. Over the long term, like, do you have, other than these videos, like, would you, if you could do anything that you wanted, if you, you know, somebody was like, I'm going to, you know, you have a vegan-friendly, like, patron, who's like, I'm going to, like, whatever you want to do, you can do that thing. Like, keep making videos? Would you want a TV show? Would you want books? Would you want, what would your empire look like?
I have a lot of ideas that I want to do. And the problem is I have locked myself into such a time intensive schedule that like I have e-courses I want to create that I've been meaning to create for like a year now. But I create so much regular free content that I haven't had the time to do it. But yeah, I want to create some e-courses that are like practical ones, like how to go vegan, how to stay vegan, maybe like how to talk to your parents about being vegan for teenagers and stuff. I do want to, I've always wanted to write a book and be published. I mean, I have a free ebook on my website that, you know, anyone can get. And my thesis has been published from grad school, but it's not quite the same. And so
what's that called or about?
It's called, oh God, it's really long. It's Layers of the Lap Dance Scholarship. And then some really long thing. Cause I created a lap dance scholarship while I was in grad school and I funded people's art with lap dancing, which was whole nother experience.
You performed lap dances.
I did, which is very atypical for my personality. I'd never been to a strip club, but I wanted to look into like where our money comes from and the fact that so much fine art funding comes from like, you know, big oil companies or these families that have like kind of really black marks on their history, but we don't really think about where it's coming from. And also the other way to get your art funded typically is from corporations. But if you're doing that, then they usually have like, okay, well, you need to include this or this little message, or that you kind of have to tweak your entire thing. And so it was kind of looking at like where our money comes from and what that means for what we're creating. But and so with the Lap Dance Scholarship, it's like you have to be very painfully aware of where your money's coming from. Like, I'm telling you exactly where it comes from.
Wow.
And I would give them literally the money that came from like my G-string and whatnot. Like, that's the money you got. And
how many, do you know how long you did it for?
I did it for 3 years. I funded 10 projects, three of which I think were international in nature. They ended up like, one was like in Italy, and it was
cool.
And I have an artist website that less people find, that has all of that on there in my thesis, so you can download if you want it. And I talk a lot about the experiences within the club and, the other commentary I was looking into, you know, other than like looking at like where our money comes from and how we're supposed to fund our artwork. But the fact that like, you can get a PhD or like need two masters and not be able to get a job, but then I can go down the street and take off my clothes and be able to fund myself, my work, and other people's work.
Wow.
And just how insane that is. And actually, the reason I've been able to launch into Bite Size Vegan kind of with just blind faith was living off of the savings from that project. But I mean, the whole thing was really fascinating to me because I don't like being up late. I don't like clubs. I don't like drinking. I don't like any of that. But it was kind of more of like, this would be interesting. I'm going to do this. That's kind of the motivation I have for a lot of things in my life, which probably isn't always the best, but I just think this would be fascinating.
Are you familiar with the club El Diablo, the vegan strip club in Portland, Oregon?
No.
Oh yeah.
I feel like I should be.
You should look into it. It's, I've been there once or twice, and it used to be a vegan restaurant, and then it shut down. And Casey, what did you mouth to me?
What? You went to a strip club?
It was before I knew you, babe. And also, you don't really care about that. We're very different than this. These are characters. Very self-aware.
I guess it was in like a different part of town that didn't have a lot of foot traffic. So the restaurant didn't survive. But they have the... Portland has the most strip clubs per capita and the most bookstores per capita. It's a cool place.
Yeah.
So to compete, because there's so many strip clubs, like they all have to have like pretty good food. They all have to have like, you know, like good, you know, so many of them like treat people. It's a positive environment for most people, as I understand it, obviously. There's a lot more than we can get into here in the remaining few minutes. But I went and it's a cool, like, you know, all the strippers aren't, I don't think, are necessarily vegan, but... I think people always make the jokes like, are they, so no animals are exploited, but humans, you know? But you know, it's a thing where hopefully the people are there because they want to be there, especially in this, in that specific environment where, it's like they kept the same kitchen. They set, you know, I think the same owners or whatever. And it's a super vegan food strip club.
Yeah. I've only ever been to the one
that, you worked at.
Well, I was living in Iowa. And so I, of course, being the student and the nerd that I am, I like took a notebook and I went out to the three locations and like asked them all these questions and tried to like kind of get my bearings and everything. Because for me, like what I was worried about is like I have limited social skills and like it's all about hustling and talking to people. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this. Being naked and stuff doesn't bother. The things usually in life that should bother me don't, and the things that don't bother anyone freak me out. So that is what was bothersome to me. But yeah, I just kind of threw myself into it and again just made it happen. And I was probably the only one who was always completely sober, definitely the only vegan. So it was an interesting experience.
One of the only vegans in Iowa.
Yeah, right. No. Yeah, well, it's
you were born there?
No, I moved there for, I started school at Brown University, and then I transferred to Cornell College in Iowa, because they do one course at a time. You do an entire semester in 3.5 weeks. You do that 9 times in a row.
Wow.
And my brain works better with that approach.
So that sounds great.
And did that, yeah. And then I stayed there, and then I went to grad school there. And I just really, I love it there, even though it's kind of like the eye of the storm to a certain extent with animal agriculture.
The Iowa storm.
The Iowa the storm.
The Iowa the storm. Yeah.
On fire. So yeah, I actually want to go back there. But I lived in Iowa City, which is like a weird little like
city
artistic
in Iowa.
Bubble.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Well, it's like a city by Iowa standards, but probably not by any other state standards.
Understood. But it's a cool place in Iowa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, thanks for answering my final thought question. Do you have any other final thoughts that you want to leave people with?
I feel like a lot of pressure.
No pressure. You just gave so many thoughts so that you can say that's it.
No, I guess to like feel free to check out my stuff. I try to use humor. You know, I think people get nervous about, oh, if I watch something about veganism, I'm going to get punched in the face. Which I actually have a couple videos where I punch people in the face, but it's in jest.
Yeah, I think the same. I think the videos I've seen of yours are funny and they're great, and that's why I like you and we're friends.
Oh, well, thank you.
And also, nice face.
Oh,
good face, and also good brain behind the face.
Awesome. Well,
Casey, any final thoughts? You also have a good face and brain.
Oh, thank you. We are all one. Let's be happy, everybody.
All right. Well, thanks for being here. Thanks for being my guest. Thanks for listening, everybody. And if you got to the end and didn't enjoy it, it is, of course, as always, you who made the mistake.
Initiate closing sequence.
Thanks for listening, everyone. This is Hang Out With Me, now on the Keith and the Girl Network. Go to keithandthegirl.com/hang, and you can become a VIP member, and you'll get bonus content for this show and every other show on the Keith and the Girl Network. Thanks for doing it.
You hung out with Mike on Hang Out With
Me.